The Andrews case became the basis for a legal and medical crusade. Prior to the trial, at which Andrews pleaded innocent by reason of insanity, the psychiatric staff of the Menninger Clinic conducted an exhaustive examination of the accused. This produced a diagnosis of schizophrenia, simple type. By simple, the diagnosticians meant that Andrews suffered no delusions, no false perceptions, no hallucinations, but the primary illness of separation of thinking from feeling. He understood the nature of his acts, and that they were prohibited, and that he was subject to punishment. But, to quote Dr. Joseph Satin, one of the examiners, Lowell Lee Andrews felt no emotions whatsoever. He considered himself the only important, only significant person in the world. And in his own seclusive world, it seemed to him just as right to kill his mother as to kill an animal or a fly. In the opinion of Dr. Satin and his colleagues, Andrews' crime amounted to such an undebatable example of diminished responsibility that the case offered an ideal chance to challenge the McNaughton Rule in Kansas courts. The McNaughton Rule, as has been previously stated, recognizes no form of insanity provided the defendant has the capacity to discriminate between right and wrong, legally, not morally. Much to the distress of psychiatrists and liberal jurists, the rule prevails in the courts of the British Commonwealth and, in the United States, in the courts of all but half a dozen or so of the states and the District of Columbia, which abide by the more lenient, though to some minds impractical, Durham Rule, which is simply that an accused is not criminally responsible if his unlawful act is the product of mental disease or mental defect. In short, what Andrews' defenders, a team composed of Menninger Clinic psychiatrists and two first-class attorneys, hoped to achieve was a victory of legal landmark stature. The great essential was to persuade the court to substitute the Durham Rule for the McNaughton Rule. If that happened, then Andrews, because of the abundant evidence concerning his schizophrenic condition, would certainly be sentenced not to the gallows or even to prison, but to confinement in the state hospital for the criminally insane. However, the defense reckoned without the defendant's religious counselor, the tireless Reverend Mr. Dameron, who appeared at the trial as the chief witness for the prosecution, and who, in the overwrought Rococo style of a tent show revivalist, told the court he had often warned his former Sunday school pupil of God's impending wrath. "I says, there isn't anything in this world that is worth more than your soul, and you have acknowledged to me a number of times in our conversations that your faith is weak, that you have no faith in God. You know that all sin is against God, and God is your final judge, and you have got to answer to him." That is what I said to make him feel the terribleness of the thing he'd done, and that he had to answer to the Almighty for this crime. Apparently, the Reverend Dameron was determined young Andrews should answer not only to the Almighty, but also to more temporal powers, for it was his testimony, added to the defendant's confession, that settled matters. The presiding judge upheld the McNaughton Rule, and the jury gave the state the death penalty it demanded.